Got a blue badge party to be at 9. Welcome back. This is Overtime, everybody. I hope you made it. We're going to continue our conversation on Off the Hook. Emmanuel here, Kyle over there.
Yeah.
Rob T. Firefly over there.
Hello.
Where's Alex? Alex, where are you? Can't just walk away like that.
I think he had some business to attend to.
Gila's not there either. What's going on, folks? Skeleton crew here for Overtime. Overtime's serious.
She also had something to attend to, but she will be back in a moment.
Is she and Alex conspiring?
I think they went off to look for their blue checks.
Yeah. Doesn't work that way.
It seemed like they were a little sore about that.
Listen, I'm sorry. It's just the way it goes sometimes, you know?
You could be a little bit more. Like,
I could be, but you know, I spent my whole life
chill about it.
I spent my whole life being chill. Now maybe this is my time.
Yeah.
I want to continue talking about the Excelsior Pass with the very people who aren't here. So Rob, you can fill time while they get back to the microphones.
Well, I can talk about our Excelsior passes and our experiments with them because, yes, what it does is you put in your identifying info that it asks for, and then it checks the New York State databases to see that you did indeed get your vaccine at one of the centers here in New York. And when it confirms that, it gives you back it gives you back a setting on your Excelsior Pass app, which gives you a QR code that you could flash at people mm-hmm. and show off. And that QR code just decodes to a string of digits, a string of digits, that's all. It's a numerical string that means nothing. It's nothing to do with any personal identifying information. But what that QR code is good for is people running events and people at venues and people at businesses and stuff can install the app and use it to scan your QR code, get your string of digits, and then check that against the state's database to see that you are indeed among the vaccinated and that you can be allowed into, say, a concert or other entertainment event that is open to people who are vaccinated. So this is not actual personal information that's being flashed. It's basically a shortcut to checking the state's database, just as bars do when they scan your ID for, letting you in to check your of drinking age. And just as schools and things can check to see if you're vaccinated in, ways that were understood to be common and necessary before the pandemic for other diseases and such.
With one difference, Rob. Yeah. This is incredibly easy to forge because, people mm-hmm. don't even check to see if you're the same person. Sometimes you just hold up the QR code and that's good enough for people there. They don't check. I'm not saying people should do that, but this misplaced notion that somehow this is Big Brother spying on you. Believe me, I know when Big Brother is spying. This is not it. This is something that, if people use it properly, can be very handy.
Exactly. And I'm looking at the screen right now. It's got my name, which is known. It does have my date of birth, which is also known. So I think the idea here being that somebody checking my Excelsior Pass can then ask to see maybe my ID card to see if the date of birth and name matches up. And
you actually suggest that.
Yeah. And so that's it. There we are. It is a shortcut. It is not itself a privacy invasion any further than the normal stuff that you can be asked to show when you go to a place.
How do you think we get here where these false accusations of privacy invasions are being used to back up this claim that vaccines aren't safe and that we have to I don't know what the alternative is exactly. Continue dying from a disease. Alex, I'm curious if you have any thoughts on this, because I'm familiar with all the concerns. I'm familiar with being in databases and having our privacy be completely compromised on so many levels. I'm familiar with giving up way too much of our personal lives. That's why I think it upsets me so much when I see those very notions, those things that I'm always fighting against, being used for something that doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe for some people it does make sense, and that this is a personal choice that they're making that they may want to keep private. They may be vaccinated and want to keep that private. They may not be vaccinated and want to keep that private for any number of reasons.
I mean, yeah, but Alex, if you're going into a public place, are you saying people should keep it private then? I mean, the only time this is being asked for is when you could potentially be putting somebody else in harm's way.
Perhaps, right? But then also at the same time, let's say you're with people that they may not, you may not want them to know that you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. And by limiting what you can do on the basis of some kind of status of being vaccinated or not, which is essentially a medical choice that you're making, I can see that there is an argument that this perhaps is not such a great idea. I can see it. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, but isn't it also not a great idea to go around spreading a disease when it's proven that it exists, that it's deadly, that it's still out there? I mean, I respect people's rights to not want to get a vaccine, but I don't respect their rights to just act like nothing is happening and continue mixing as if they did get a vaccine when that is probably the worst idea.
Look, certainly. And I think, you know, there's plenty of other precedent out there where vaccines are required in order for entrance into, let's say, a public school. Now, I can't send my children to public school in New York without providing documentary proof that they are vaccinated against polio, against measles, mumps, rubella, and all of these other, you know, this full panel of vaccinations that you need in order to participate in that particular type of civic activity. So this has been going on for a really long time. But I think that it feels more sensitive for people now because this whole process, the whole decision, has been so polarizing politically. And I think that that's really what's driving it. Also, as we discussed last week and probably the week before, too, this is just another way for people to feel like they're somehow being victimized by the state. You know, ignoring the fact that you have this overriding duty to third parties, this overriding duty to your fellow man and your fellow woman not to cause them to carry a life-threatening illness. You know, there's that. I mean, that's the whole reason why vaccination programs exist. But yet, you know, to be what Fox News calls it, you know, fair and balanced here. Again, I think that the history of vaccines in this country are pretty terrible. And if you look at some of the court cases where whether or not vaccines could be forced on a population were decided, even at the Supreme Court level, those very precedents were then used later on for the forced sterilization of the mentally ill.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking apples and oranges here. Yeah, I get all that. I know about the injustices of the past, but that's not what's happening here. People aren't being forced to do this. This isn't the same kind of mindset. This is a choice. All I'm saying is if you make that choice, then live by that choice. Don't pretend like you didn't.
Well, that's fine. I completely agree with that. But I do think that we have to acknowledge that there is a pretty horrendous past here, and that, you know, forcing people to make some kind of medical decision one way or the other can rub a lot of people the wrong way. It's best for them to come to their own conclusion, like our listener did, after listening, I think, to both sides quite regularly, that this is the right decision to come to. It's the right decision, I think, for yourself. It's the right decision for third parties, and that we have this overriding duty at this point in time. I think that we should hopefully look back on this point of time in 10, 20, 30 years, 100 years, and hopefully say that we did the right thing.
Yeah, and if you have a different conclusion, that's fine too, but you should not be acting as if you made the decision that we agree with. You know, I wish people the best if they choose not to get vaccinated. I don't think they should be risking other people who might still get the vaccine, the virus, even though they've had the vaccine. That is still possible. That's not a surprise. That's what everyone has predicted. Or people who, for other bona fide medical reasons, cannot get the vaccine. You're putting them at risk. It's, you know, and so I respect decisions, but I don't respect actions that are selfish and put other people in danger. Gila, go ahead.
I think, and this is really something I've been saying for the last year now, more than the last year, is that there's this sense of I got me and nothing else matters. And when people are saying, I'm not going to get the shot because I don't care if I get sick. I'm not going to wear a mask because I don't care if I get sick.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we cannot force people to do, and it breaks my heart, we cannot force people to care about anybody else. And I will tell you that this past week, we had a bit of a scare in my family. My mom called and told us that a friend she had visited with a couple of weeks ago when we were visiting her, despite being vaccinated, had tested positive.
It can happen.
And we did not know if we had been exposed. We spent 10 minutes with this person outside, but we were not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, we're both vaccinated. My mom is vaccinated. This friend is vaccinated. We said, we're going to wait and reserve our nerves until the test comes back from my mom. And she tested negative. But this whole idea that everything that you do affects everybody around you, until people are willing to take that on board, we're never going to succeed. And I remember talking last week about polio vaccines and how people were – everybody got vaccinated for polio to the point where these diseases that we were able to eradicate through vaccination, and now they're coming back because people don't care. People don't care what they're going to do to other people.
Yeah, and, you know, this is not
for that.
This is not, I mean, it may be turning into a political issue, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a political issue, but I don't want it to be a political issue. You know, I don't think there is something inherent in Republicans that they are not going to get a vaccine. I think people are being led by those who want that to happen. And they're listening to the wrong people. But Republicans have common sense. Democrats have common sense. Socialists, communists, the Green Party, everybody has common sense. Whether we choose to listen to it or not, that's an individual decision. And I just hope more people don't look at the politics or don't look at what their particular political leader is saying and judge for themselves. And what I mean by that is, you know, don't just look for people to agree with what your initial biases are. Look into the science. Science is not the enemy here. Science is neutral. And that is what will lead us through this. That's what's gotten us this far in the first place. Make a decision based on that. Go ahead, Gila.
The other thing I was thinking about is something that has been happening worldwide and happened in this country over the weekend, mm-hmm. I believe it was, where someone decided to sell yellow Stars of David that said not vaccinated.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was something. We saw that on Twitter where basically somebody discovered it on Amazon, and it was shocking because it was being sold by Amazon.
There's that, but there's also, there was a little store in, I want to say, Tennessee where they were making them. I've seen people wearing them at protests in Great Britain.
It was a hat store.
This is a hat store. This is a worldwide thing.
But they got a bit of a blowback from Stetson, who pulled out of distributing.
They did. A lot of companies pulled out of distributing, using them as a distributor. But I think it's also important to remember that those were issued by the state. The yellow stars were issued to people to mark them as bad. And mm-hmm. if you are choosing to put this on yourself and carry that mantle of victimhood because of this thing you have decided not to do because you're okay and you don't care about infecting other people.
It shows ignorance on so many levels.
Ignorance of history, ignorance of everything. It is just so offensive on so many levels. And I just wanted to put that out there, too.
Yeah. No, thanks for bringing that up. And I should also point out that it got taken down when people noticed it and started raising, an uproar about it. And it's not going to be the last one. So we need to keep our eyes out for things that are horrible like that, that are being spread around. We may not be able to stop it, but we don't have to just stand by and let it spread. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, another argument, I think, for the vaccine could possibly be taken from a 17th century philosopher, Pascal. And in fact, Pascal's wager. And if we proceed from the assumption here that the vaccine has been provided to hundreds of millions of people around the world, and that nothing bad has happened to them as a result of this, as a result of their injections. They might have gotten sick for a couple of days, but on the whole, everyone is okay. Okay, you know, there's been random blood clots, one in, you know, 10 million, whatever it is, very, very minuscule amount of fatalities associated with the vaccine, plenty, plenty more fatalities associated with COVID itself and the coronavirus. And so just in terms of probabilities, your probability of dying from COVID is a hell of a lot more likely than you know, having even a minor complication from the vaccine. But, you know, our favorite 17th century French philosopher had an argument called Pascal's Wager, which essentially was about believing in God. And he argued that it's probably better to believe in God based on what you can gain if it in fact turns out that it's true that God exists, because then by believing in God, you gain eternal life. Right? And if it turns out that God doesn't exist, well, you haven't really lost all that much, right? You know, you're not going to lose, you know, maybe you lost some time and, you know, during life and whatnot, but, you know, the gain to be gotten by believing is so much greater than not believing. So it makes sense to believe. So I feel like the same kind of argument can apply to the vaccine here, right? You know, there's really no documented harm from injecting it. And if you get it, and if it works, and now, and this virus is real, which, you know, all the science points to, all of those questions, all of those conditionals being answered in the affirmative, yes, the virus is real, yes, it exists, then you have everything to gain. So why wouldn't you do it? You have the ability to gain an Excelsior pass, to go to concerts. You have the ability to be free from a life-threatening disease that has killed 600,000 people in the United States alone. So, you know, maybe we should take our cue from those who possibly knew better in the 17th century.
You know, I hear what you're saying, Alex. I hear what Pascal is saying, or did say, in that particular regard. I'm not sure that's the best parallel. Because I'm just thinking, you know, atheists and agnostics are among the most analytical people I know. And they would not treat the, well, why not just believe in God, what have you got to lose argument with much zest. And if they applied that to the vaccine, you know, say, well, why should I believe in something fanciful that I don't believe could possibly exist? You might wind up dissuading a few people. I'm just saying, I know where you're coming from, but I'm not sure it's the best.
Yeah, look, you know, Pascal's Wager is certainly, you know, a controversial argument in many respects, and even pragmatists like William James actually objected to it because he argued, you know, a 20th century American philosopher believed that Pascal's Wager, if you supported that, it would require you to believe basically in any religion that promoted some kind of afterlife, right? So, you know, whatever it was should be believed in simply because there's some afterlife to be gained. But we're not talking here about the afterlife. We're talking about real life. We're talking about the here and now and continuing to exist in this present plane of existence, which I think is even a more pressing issue than the afterlife.
I guess we could leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I just think, like, since it's to most of us, I think it is a form of magic. The average person taking the vaccine, it appears that way, but it diverges in that it is a scientific endeavor. It was tested for an actual perceivable result. So I don't know. In a philosophical way, maybe. Or in a sort of fundamental way, but I don't know, or a mechanical way, but I don't know much more than where you would be putting faith. I mean, you're putting faith in data from peer-reviewed
okay.
Phase trials and stuff.
No, I got it now. The vaccine is better than God, okay? And here's why. Because you can prove the vaccine works, and you can't prove that God exists, okay? So right away, the vaccine's got one up on God, so there you go.
Okay, yeah, that's the answer, yeah.
My point about this existing, in this plane of existence, as opposed to the afterlife.
I'm sure people accept that.
If there were a God, he would get vaccinated. How about that? Or she would get vaccinated. Hmm?
they might be.
Rob, go ahead. Contribute to this.
Now that we've raised the completely controversy-free and easily solvable subject of religious diversity here on this program, I'd like to invite our listeners to call in with their thoughts on anything we've been talking about or just whatever's going on. You can call us at United States telephone number 1-802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK or toll-free at 1-833-755-2600 because we are ostensibly here to talk with you, and we want to hear from you. We can't do that on the radio. We're doing it now, and, yeah, tell us what's on your mind.
We already have a caller, and congratulations to this caller for successfully blocking their number. We have no idea where you're calling from.
Hi.
Oh, my God. Hey. It's you.
Eleanor Elizabeth Forman.
Well, you don't have to give us your entire name, but we know who you are because you called before. But you know what? I think we're seeing caller IDs for calls that are going past us.
There's a lot of calls, so let's go.
It's weird how the system works. Like, we're talking to you, but we're still seeing caller IDs.
Okay, well, let's just acknowledge that...
I'm going to explain things to
the
people.
The answering service isn't requiring us to press buttons anymore. Google just kind of fixed that.
Really? They
we
just
don't
stopped.
Seem to have acknowledged them.
Interesting. Okay. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Okay, two things. The Pascal's wager and the update you asked before.
Let's start with Pascal.
Okay. Pascal's wager is not a good wager because, as you've mentioned, there's no proof that any deities exist, any pie in the sky, and people spend huge amounts of time in the one life that they actually have doing or not doing according to religious beliefs that are very restrictive, and they waste the one life they have trying to gain the pie in the sky, which they're not going to get.
Alex, do you wish to debate the issue further?
I think it's a very valid criticism of Pascal's wager. Certainly, I don't subscribe to it myself. I'm simply merely referencing the argument to as the analog for a situation where you have everything to gain from doing something, and relatively nothing to lose. But, you know, you're right, absolutely, caller. If you spend all this time worshiping and going to church and being pious, et cetera, certainly you're losing a hell of a lot of your life. But if it's simply a matter of, let's assume, you know, the facts are different for a second with respect to what it means to believe in God, and if simply believing in God was sufficient for you to gain entry to the afterlife, then I think that, you know, Pascal's wager would have more force. If you didn't have to spend your whole life being pious and confessing minor transgressions and jaywalking and things like that, I think, you know, maybe the analog would be better.
I think also some atheists might want to write in and tell us what they have to lose by believing in God, just out of curiosity. I think we might get a few hundred of those. Go ahead, caller. Finish with your other point.
Okay, my other point is I hope that you will give out the link to my petition here on the after time because it didn't seem to get signers from the radio show on the air, unfortunately. But hopefully the people who are cognizant and have bothered to join us afterwards will be more likely to actually sign the petition, as well as share it and bug their legislators. But right now, I've got 20 supporters. So,
if you would like to give that link out, please go ahead.
Okay, everybody got paper and pencil out there?
Give them a second.
Change.org/ Disabled, need, vaccinated, AIDS. And AIDS is spelled AIDES. So disabled, DISABLED, capital NEED, capital V for vaccinated, VACCINATED. Capital A for AIDS, AIDES, change.org/ disabled need vaccinated AIDS.
Okay. Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. Alex, do you have something to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's such a long URL. I think perhaps maybe one of our listeners or maybe one of ourselves could do our caller the favor of perhaps registering a shorter domain name that could be used to redirect to that URL, or maybe even creating some kind of much shorter bit.ly link that we can give out to our caller to use for further promotion.
You know, caller, it's extremely easy to do that.
It did start off with a shorter random link, but it gave me the option of choosing a link that made sense.
If you go to the site, bit.ly, which is bit.ly, you'll see there's a box there where you can put in that that long URL and even request a custom URL so that it would be bit.ly/whatever word you want, and it can be very short.
Well, I did request this particular one. I mean, you're telling me it's too long.
Well, it might be. It might be too long for some people, but maybe for some people it's just right.
But also you could go to Channel 2600 on YouTube after this show if you're listening and you didn't catch that whole thing, and you can go back to now and go back and get that link again in the archived file. The archives will remain up in perpetuity.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Important thing is to try a variety of ways to get the information out so people can get under people's noses and get a little bit more of that momentum.
Yeah, sign the damn petition.
Well,
it's important.
I happen to know a Twitter checkmarked person.
Oh boy, here we go.
I believe I am speaking to a Twitter checkmarked person who would be able to tweet this.
It's like winning the lottery.
So desire.
I got calls from relatives I hadn't heard from in 10 years. You know, everybody thinks I can just move mountains for them now. Really, seriously, folks, we're going to have to talk about this after the show because there's going to have to be some changes.
By the way, we got
to
get that.
If you would be willing to tweet for my petition,
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. Thank you very much for your call and best of luck.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, it doesn't hurt to say that, people. You know, no one is saying that. That's just, I'm getting all kinds of demands, requests, and insolence. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting.
Congratulations, traitor.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, this is what I'm talking about. Whoa. Okay, our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Really? I'm sorry, I'm watching the Winnipeg Jets and they're losing. Damn. Okay, well, there's still time left. There's still time left. Fingers crossed. anything else as far as controversial topics that we wish to focus on? Anyone has anything to share? No? Alex, you?
I mean, I've always got, you know, something to share. I'm particularly happy that, you know, our callers are mentioning it, calling in and mentioning Pascal's wager, arguing philosophy on off the hook overtime.
Well, that's because you did it. That's why they're mentioning it.
Well, perhaps. Yes, of course. I mean, that's it. But, I mean, it's nice to have these philosophical arguments, you know, with real intellectuals sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We have a call from Connecticut. Good evening. You're on off the hook. Go ahead. Maybe you're not from Connecticut. It said you were from Connecticut. Is anybody there? There's nobody here. Okay. The phone number, 802-321-4225. What were they, hang up or something?
We may have caught them on the end of a ring or between two calls.
Okay. So the
There are calls coming in. People are out there, so please
they're coming in. They're just not landing.
Go ahead and give them that number.
Bouncing off the runway. Okay, 802-321-4225. How do you know if you haven't connected? The phone will keep ringing and you'll wind up in some kind of crazy voicemail that we can't access. That's how Google plays. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. And we have a phone call, and this is from somebody who successfully blocked their number. Good evening. We have no idea where you are.
Well, it doesn't really matter where I am because I don't have a blue check, right?
True. See, he gets it. He gets it. Is that so hard?
But just, you know, for the sake of argument, let's say I'm David in Oregon.
Okay, we'll say that.
All right, and I'm really been fascinated with some of the my conservative friends that are otherwise really good people, but they really seem to think that they're, you know, starting the, you know, the birth of a nation or something by standing up to the utter injustice of, you know, confirming that they've been vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
And I just, like, what is that doing for them? And you know, and reading around and such, a lot of times people that have been victimized in other ways really just kind of seek out that, you know, things to take the role of victim on and you know, maybe safer things, because no one is really coming to get them if they, you know, don't get vaccinated. It's a safe thing to say, you know, no vaccine or death or whatever.
Well, it's the feigned indignation that I think a lot of people are being propelled towards. Let me ask you, your conservative friends, they don't want to tell people if they got the vaccine or not. Do you know if they actually did get the vaccine or not, and they just don't want to tell people?
It seems to be there's a split. One is just that since there is so much misinformation, I mean, I think one thing we'd agree on is that Big Pharma is not the most honest, benevolent force in the world.
Absolutely, yes.
And so it plays into thinking there's a conspiracy, and in that void, they choose to believe what they choose to believe.
There is a conspiracy. The conspiracy is to make us healthy and to get past the virus. That's the conspiracy. That's a good one, too.
Well, and if they're believing people that the whole thing is trumped up, then, pardon the phrase,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that they think if, well, it's no big deal, then why should I be a sucker? And I think the most successful moment I've had was something like, oh, you know, they're putting in the tracking devices or whatever, and I'm saying, well, dude, you got a phone, they're covered, and he's like, oh. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Now, of course, they're not putting in tracking devices, but, you know, if they were putting in tracking devices and that was the price to, like, save your life, well, no, I still wouldn't consider it acceptable, but it's better than dying of a virus, that's for sure. But it's not happening. It's not real. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But the interesting thing is that there are levels. There are levels of denial that I think we're seeing here. People who don't want to share information about themselves, believing it's some kind of privacy risk, okay, that's one level. It's you know, bad and inconsiderate, but at least you're not hurting yourself. Then there's the other level where you won't even get the vaccine because you're convinced there's some evil democratic conspiracy against I don't know what, and you're hurting yourself as a result. That, I think, is far worse because people are actually suffering. Even the people I disagree with are suffering and will die as a result of this. And, you know, it reminds me of, I don't know if you guys caught this over the weekend, when Kamala Harris encouraged people to have a nice long weekend, and she got all kinds of crap from conservatives for daring to not mention Memorial Day when she had mentioned it so many times before. People are looking for something to get outraged at and to see as a violation or part of some kind of bigger conspiracy. It really almost doesn't matter what you say, because anything you say, they'll figure out a way to twist it and make it about what they're saying. It's really sad.
Or maybe they didn't salute enough.
I don't know. It's gotten past the point of ridiculousness.
Well, I have one big idea I want to share.
Go ahead.
That is, one of the things that people keep saying is, well, you know, these CDC cards, they don't have any anti-counterfeiting, so what's the point of asking to see them? And for me, the point is that, you know, for maybe someone might feel that they're being heroic, like a local guy took a picture of himself in a Costco with no mask and said, well, you know, he wasn't real specific about what vaccine, and I wasn't real specific with my answer, and he thinks he's really smart. But you know, there's a big line between saying, you know, just kind of gilding the lily about whether you've been vaccinated or not. And it's another thing to present a counterfeit document.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people, even if they don't believe in the vaccine, they still understand that counterfeit documents are, at the very least, immoral and could possibly have legal implications. Maybe Alex could comment on that. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for your call. Oops, sorry about that. Go ahead, Alex, and then Kyle. Alex, I think you're muted.
Sorry, I was trying to find the unmute button there.
you know, I want to expand on something I said a little bit earlier that I made an allusion to but didn't really have an opportunity to explain, which was this legal precedent about the authority of states to vaccinate its people. And it was 116 years ago in 1905, a U.S. Supreme Court case by the name of Jacobson v. Massachusetts that had to deal, if I recall correctly, with a priest who had objected to being forced to take the smallpox vaccine, and he got some kind of fine. I think back then it was like a couple of dollars, but it was, you know, substantial, obviously, money. And he refused to take this, refused to take the vaccine, and the case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they ruled in favor of the state's power, because there is, since this ruling, the authority of the states to enforce compulsory vaccination laws, and that, you know, that it ruled basically that there is a matter of individual liberty at stake, but it's that individual liberty is always subject to the power of the state. You know, we live in a society. We do not live in the state of nature where we can do anything that we want. We have essentially a social contract with the government and fellow man to do what's right, and that police power of the state can force us to do something in favor of third parties, which, so, you know, arguably, you know, interesting decision. However, later on, that case was then misused, I think, to establish something that was really terrible. And in fact, it was about 20 years or so later, in a case, again, before the U.S. Supreme Court, I think it was called Buck v. Bell, and this was a case where Oliver Wendell Holmes, an otherwise pretty brilliant jurist, said this, and I'm going to read this. "We have seen more than once that public welfare may call upon the best citizens for their lives," meaning, yeah, we can force people into the draft. We can take people and force them to fight for our country or imprison them. You know, and a fortiori, by necessary implication, we can force people to get a goddamn vaccine, right? But he's saying, if we can force the best citizens for their lives, to join the army, et cetera, it would be strange if it could not call upon those who already sap the strength of the state for these lesser sacrifices, often not felt to be such by those concerned, or to prevent our being swamped with incompetence. It is better for all the world if, instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime, or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind.
Wow.
Principle that sustains compulsory vaccination is broad enough to cover the cutting of fallopian tubes.
Okay, well, you know what? You've painted it about as darkly as it could be painted. And from the beginning, when you mentioned the smallpox decision, that's not something that I think very many people would go along with today. And I don't think that's what people are saying. I don't think anyone believes that the state should force people to get vaccines. But I do think that if you don't, there's certain things you shouldn't do. And that's just common decency. And I hope that we, what am I saying? We live in a society where that's valued more? No, we don't. But we should. It would be nice if we did.
I agree with that. But I think there is merit. There's an historical record for the power of the state to require vaccines or to force them in one way or another, that can lead to a dangerous legal precedent that can be misused. It's the legal equivalent of function creep.
It can, right? It can, yes, but it can also work very badly if you don't do enough. You know, if it's a free for all, everybody just, you know, doing whatever they want health wise, that's how you get into bad situations. Kyle, you have something to say? Go ahead.
I think the caller made a good point about the CDC cards and distinction between being cagey and actually counterfeiting those. And I think we should also remember to think of them as more of our record. It's literally what they're giving it to you as your vaccination record, but it's like a receipt, and it's not that information on it, or that other silos of information, if you'll let me use the term, don't have a record as well and could not corroborate it based on what record you have and are claiming is when and what batch and all of that information. To think that this isn't being handled other is, I think, foolish. And in the case of the Excelsior app, that's just basically making it machine readable so that various places can adopt it as a control mechanism. The last thing, I really don't have enough time to go into, but I would have loved to speak about vaccines and trust. And I think in this case, we have to look at the extraordinary circumstances that we've faced and consider the amount of people that are watching this situation. And in the development of this particular vaccine, it was not just a private entity doing it. It was also the government. Now, those two entities separately and alone may have varying levels of trust from the public, but I think together, given the circumstances and with the amount of light shown on the on those two entities and how they work, they have entirely different objectives. So I think the oversight of the government to ensure that it continues to have, you know, taxable revenue and precipitate growth in its population, those interests are different than perhaps the research and development goals of Pfizer. And I think we could go back and forth on that, but I think the two of them together, or any other vaccine manufacturer, really is a strong, could and should build a strong sense of trust because of their shared goal in the rollout and distribution of it.
I would hope that they are keeping records, because if they're not, that means people can just keep going back and getting a free beer every time they get a shot, and that's not right either. It's also not healthy. I think we have our Connecticut call back. Good evening. Is anybody there?
Good evening. Yes, I am, and congratulations on your blue check mark.
Thank you very much. And that sounded sincere. That sounded, unlike any of you, that sounded sincere. Thank you.
I was going to mention, in 1954, they also were pushing out polio vaccines.
Uh-huh.
So there are good points where we do what is good for the in general public versus having, you know, waves of people saying, oh, no, 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 I'd rather let my child die naturally.
Yeah.
The
measles,
too. Thing that I was calling, though, for was about Amazon Sidewalk.
Amazon Sidewalk.
Yes.
Tell us all about this.
Yeah, we didn't get to that story. Please share.
Amazon Sidewalk is a low-bandwidth, long-range wireless communication protocol developed by Amazon. It uses Bluetooth low energy for short-distance communications, and in the 900 megahertz range, other frequencies for longer distances. The idea is that your Amazon devices will all work better if we just take some of your bandwidth in your house and open it up to the public. Only Amazon devices, of course, but still. If you think that your internet speed is slow now, you can opt up, of course. But the fact that this was a project that they've had in the pipe and now they're going to turn it on in everybody who doesn't opt out of their program.
So I haven't really had time to look into this, but I don't really know anything about this, to be honest. I've heard just, you know, people talking about it, but so basically your bandwidth, which you don't get from Amazon, correct?
Correct.
They will be able to somehow latch onto an Amazon device that is connected to your internet connection and siphon off of that and use it to feed other people walking by with their Amazon devices. Is that more or less correct?
Yes, it improves the communication of all Amazon devices through this low-powered antenna that are in the, I think it's the third-generation Amazon Echoes dots, a couple of various things, the show and the ID tags.
So basically what you're saying is your Alexa will be sort of inside your house, kind of like a plant for Amazon that's helping out all other Amazon devices that are passing by your house with bandwidth. Is that fair?
Yes. Improving their connectivity.
Yeah. That is something. That is scary.
Sort of like they're going to load balance all of our connections and then run a sort of underlying, or I guess supervisory, however you want to imagine it, layer that only connects those two. And what I read just a little bit also, what this will help them do is integrate other kinds of features and services like tags, I think was in the article, like you lose your keys. Say you're near somebody that, or you lose them in out of range area from your home, but another show or dot or whatever at your neighbor's where you were jogging by, their device knows that your keys are up there and relays that to back to your home network. I guess that's a sort of an example.
Even if your house loses power, your neighbors, if they have power, could register your devices on their system.
Now, let's say you don't like your neighbors, and they don't like you. How can this work?
Go into your app, your Amazon app, and opt out currently.
Okay, no, I realize that. First of all, it should be the other way around. You should opt in, not opt out. Yeah. But I mean, let's say that you don't like your neighbors, and this system is on. What could happen that would make their lives more difficult using this particular type of a system? That's what I want to explore.
Conceivably, from what I've read, nothing. Because it's going to be a low-level network. It's only going to talk to Amazon devices, nothing else. Nobody's going to be able to breach that network that they're establishing.
Yeah, it's sort of only for their use, as it were, or their products to use to optimize their functionality. It's not necessarily like a user, a way the user, a user-facing advantage.
Well, it sounds like we're all chipping in to help make things easier for Amazon. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Starting June 8th, it will be smart speakers, Ring security cameras, location trackers, and outdoor sensors primarily. That's where it starts.
Wow.
But if you think about it, it's really integrating all of the different pieces that were always there. It's just establishing...
Yeah, but it's other pieces. It's not
protocol.
It's not the pieces that you own. It's pieces other people own. It's integrating all of them.
It has kind of a sort of digital magnetism.
It's making some kind of singularity that's going to... I can't predict. But go ahead, Alex.
I think this... couple of interesting things with this rollout in a few days, too, that number one, that Amazon developed a new protocol, a new data transmission protocol for this very purpose, and I think a lot of people are having concerns about the rollout of a brand new protocol, sending and transmitting data without it really being tested on such a scale. You know, there's going to be a massive rollout without a really truly scale tested beta of this. And then separately, and the caller mentioned this too, is that these are going to broadcast on the 900 megahertz spectrum, which Emmanuel will probably recall is the same spectrum for what?
900 megahertz?
Cordless phone.
It's not cellular because cellular was 800. But 900 wireless transmissions, cordless phones, that kind of thing.
Yeah, cordless phones.
Yeah.
Cordless phones.
Yeah.
So within that same bandwidth, and I think that 900 megahertz spectrum, I think 900 megahertz up to 999 or about there. You know, others would know better than me, but I believe that bit of bandwidth is open to the public. To a certain extent, that you don't necessarily need an FCC license for a device to use a frequency within that period. So, how much of that bandwidth, how many frequencies is Amazon going to be utilizing around 900 megahertz that could otherwise be
globally
utilized by other devices or the
globally, not just in the United States? Now that's interesting because we can never agree on what frequencies to use for what from one country to the other. So somehow Amazon is able to do this everywhere?
I don't know. That I don't know. I wish I did.
I was asking the caller.
There's nothing that I've seen that says that they've tested it in every market.
Okay.
There have been questions about what if I turn on one device in every home at the same time?
I think
that's how you think like a hacker.
I think the initial part of this is just U.S. only. I'm not 100% sure. Someone will have to correct me, but I may have seen some fine print when I was skimming around some of the promotional or whatever article.
So Canadians, definitely let us know if this is happening by you as well.
Yeah, let's find out. Maybe if someone can write in oth@2600.com. This is going to be affecting a lot of people, so we'd love to see some more stories.
Go ahead, Rob.
Of course, the other kick in the butt about this is that Amazon came up with this feature, implemented it in their software, in their devices, and decided to just help themselves to it because it defaults to opting in. I mean, it defaults to on, and you have to opt out of it if you don't like it. So people who aren't familiar with the issue just don't realize that their stuff is chipping in on this and using some of their own resources to help out Amazon and ultimately increase Amazon shareholder value. This seems like the sort of thing that definitely, as you guys said, should have been opt-in. There are probably enthusiastic Amazon users out there who would have voluntarily opted into this sort of thing, especially if, like, say, one of the biggest companies on Earth with the most money offered some sort of incentive or reward. But the long and the short of it is that the idea that the stuff you buy, not only do you agree to terms and conditions for every damn thing now, but it can just decide it wants a little more of what you've got. And you're powerless to get out ahead of that unless they decide to make it opt-in. We're at the mercy of this stuff. You know, I got the thing to play music, and, you know, it decides to just go on without me and agree to things without me. That's creepy.
Yeah, and I think we would look at this and take a dimmer view if it was, say, a foreign manufacturer. If this was a Huawei device,
yeah,
how would we look at it then? What kinds of questions, what kind of conversations we'd be having around it? All of a sudden, a Huawei network of proprietary nature and, you know, perhaps whatever spooky things we want to attach to it doing, why would we accept this from Amazon versus a company that has maybe an adversarial regime as a part of their ownership or something?
I bet China won't be too thrilled to accept this.
No, China will love these. I mean,
not from Amazon, they won't.
Right, but they'll customize it for them.
Yes, yes. Caller, any other topics?
No, that was just the question of the day.
So many interesting things.
Multiple Alexa devices in every house.
Yes.
The same day.
Yeah.
It'd be one hell of a load test.
It should be. It should be. I look forward to it. Thanks for your call. Take care.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. And our phone number 802-321-4225. We are running towards the end of our hour, which I guess is what we take now for overtime. It's an hour.
Is it an hour? I thought it was an hour and 10 now.
Well, it was last week. It certainly was. I like how the caller ID blocks the score of the game, so I can't tell, but they're still behind.
That might have been a call, but I didn't hear a ring.
Okay. Well, can you tell if anybody's there? There must be a way to tell somebody's on the phone. Well, I'll just turn it off and see.
The phone's not there.
It's not there, okay.
You'll get blaring.
People were calling in, but they wound up bouncing off and going somewhere else. So
that may have been a hesitant call.
802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK.
Have heart.
Is our phone number.
Try again.
Yeah, and we're here for a few more minutes. Alex, looks like you have something to say. Go ahead.
Sure. We were talking about the Excelsior cards earlier,
mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you guys knew what Excelsior meant. That happens to be the state motto.
Ever upward.
Well, you're saying Excelsior. Is there an H in there that I don't know about?
Excelsior.
Really? What? Why is the H in there? Because
it's how you pronounce it. It's a It's more of a sort of medieval Latin pronunciation of Excelsior. Yeah, huh. You can say Excelsior, but it's really Excelsior.
You know, someone with a blue badge, I should have known that.
Yeah,
I should have known that.
In Washington, it's Alki.
In Washington, it's Spokane.
Yeah.
I never could figure that out either.
Although, I wouldn't say Excelsior. It literally translates the comparative form of the adjective Excelsis, and so it means higher. Literally, it just translates to higher.
Oh, I thought ever upward was an eloquent way to put it, but fine.
But yeah, higher is the literal translation. So we're going to be living up to that now that marijuana is legalized.
Nice transition there. We have a call?
Absolutely.
Okay, we have a call. Go ahead. Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I haven't been able to hear the show for the last few weeks. I just wanted to get a quick update. What's the status of the HOPE conference for August? Is it on or off, or is it still too early to tell?
Nice try, but the announcement is tomorrow, and that's when you'll find out. That if you go to 2600.com or hope.net, you'll be able to see the announcement there, and, of course, we'll be able to talk about it next week. But nothing official today.
Tomorrow.
I'm sorry?
What time? Do you have? What
it'll be in the afternoon. It won't be noon, probably more like 1 or 2.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, thanks. I'll check that out.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the call. I guess we have time for one more, if there is one more. 802-321-4225. While we wait for that call, anyone have anything over on Skype land they wanted to add? Rob, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Just Alex, Mr. Lawyer, Mr. I Speak Latin. Stan the Manly said Excelsior, and I'm going to say it that way. And there's nothing you can do to change my mind on this.
Oh, my God, it's on. There's a war between... Wait, Stanley's not alive anymore, is he?
No, he isn't.
Okay, well, you're lucky for you, Alex, because I would wipe the floor with you. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be the first time. I'll put it that way.
And then he would say Excelsior, and he'd say it that way.
Yeah, well, we're all, you know, look, we're all entitled to our opinions, you know, on these things. And, you know, some people like to put the accent on the wrong syllable.
How long were you holding that one in?
You didn't hold it in.
Yeah,
well, he was for a while. But, you know, I'm looking it up now on Wikipedia, and that will settle this, won't it?
Go ahead.
You probably beat me to it. go ahead and talk about something else while I'm clicking keys.
We're all busy editing Wikipedia before you can get to it.
Oh, God. There's just so many, many Excelsiors that I don't know which one to click on. Book of Poems.
Well, Captain Sulu also said Excelsior, so, you know, are you going to tell Captain Hikaru Sulu of the United Federation of Planets that he's wrong? No, I don't think
that's,
you are.
That's the thing. Excelsior is a motto of New York. Who's to say New York can't just pronounce it differently because they feel like it?
New York pronounces a lot of things differently.
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
This is
exactly
true.
But every state has its own particular peccadilloes, I suppose, when it comes to linguistics.
One thing I learned is don't tell New York how to pronounce things.
Yes, especially New York. All right, so I guess we're not getting that final phone call.
Yeah, people are weary. There were a lot of stories. There is a lot going on. It's a sometimes scary world. It's sometimes a world filled with hope.
Excelsior.
Oh. Alex, that was the internet. Did you hear what the internet said?
Excelsior.
I didn't hear an H in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, interesting.
It depends on what
which
pronunciation
robot
you're striving to. If you're doing it, you know, literal, it would be Excelsior, right?
Well, why wouldn't we be doing it literally?
Well, I'm saying that medieval church Latin pronunciation of this would have the C as being a sort of a CH, almost like a double C.
But we're not in a medieval church, are we?
Yeah. No, I usually would even do a very classical Roman pronunciation of this would have been with a hard C as a K, Excelsior.
Oh, boy.
So it all depends on to whom you're speaking about this, but, you know.
Dead language.
If you want to believe it,
that's just the bridge too far.
Then, you know, go for it.
But we are not in a medieval kirk right now.
No, thank God. Kyle, you were in the middle of a quote, weren't you?
Oh, no, I was just getting philosophical. I was talking about the dynamics and things, and I was trying to go somewhere with it. But
and you never did?
No. Okay. I mean, I was just filling time and, you know, thinking about the kinds of exciting things. I was going to talk about the Hyperloop for some reason because I know that's going to be at the next World's Fair and nobody's talking about it.
Wait, they still have World's Fairs?
Do
oh, yeah.
Wait, where's the World's Fair going to be? And please don't say Queens.
In the Mideast. I think it's in UAE. I'm not sure.
Really?
You can't quote me on that.
Don't they have enough trouble? I mean, they've got all kinds of things in that region. The World Cup is coming up.
So we're showcasing the Hyperloop and 5G there. So we better, like, make it look good.
Okay.
But that's not the only stuff that's going on. I was just trying to, you know, say there's exciting things. Broadband's considered infrastructure. I mean, that's exciting.
Healthcare is considered infrastructure.
I don't know. I had a point.
Many of us did. Many of us did. Okay, we're going to leave 1 minute for a phone call, and then we're going to give up. Well, not give up, just move on.
Well, we're standing by. I'm here. I'm right here. I have my hand on the button. I'm ready.
So it's 802-321-4225. If for some reason you can't dial an area code and you can only dial toll-free, the toll-free number is, hold on, let me see if I got this, 833-755-2600. Wow, I remembered it. Okay. I got it all by myself. We should also give out the number for BAI so people can pledge, and even though we're not on the station right now, so people can support that place because it really is pretty incredible. 212-209-2950, or the website give2wbai.org, give the number 2wbai.org. Since 1960, broadcasting all kinds of different voices, and we're happy to be among them. Write to us, oth@2600.com. That's our email address, and sometimes we read the emails over the air. Be sure to tune in someplace tomorrow, whether it's 2600.com or hope.net or just listen in the street, because I'm sure people will be talking about it. We'll be announcing future plans for Hope conferences and for 2600 meetings, amongst other things. We have a call. Can you listen to my call while I was getting the... let's pick this one up and see if there's one last
one. You really
call.
Want me?
Yeah,
okay,
let's do it. They took the time to dial.
They probably got something better to say. All right.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. That's just...
it all. I said I would do it.
Yeah, and you did. Well, they're calling back, so try one more time, and that's going to be it. Go ahead. Good evening. You're on the show. Is anybody there? There's nobody here. There's nobody here. Okay, that's it. We're done. We're finished. We will see you next week, and please stay alert, stay happy, and stay healthy, and we'll be around.
Better luck next time.
Good night.